Forever Blue Shirts Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time out to listen to another episode of Forever Blue Shirts Radio. This voice is a little different because our usual host, Russell Hartman, is not with us today. He had a previous engagement and was tied up, unfortunately, so he could not make it. So just on the pod today is myself, Jean-Luc Shapiro, contributor and best-looking guy on 4B, along with my cohort and the other part of the first line, Kevin Krupe. Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We're a little shorthanded today. Russell took a penalty, so he's in the box. Obviously, hockey jokes. Ha ha ha.
What would Russell go into the penalty box for?
Definitely, I feel like hooking or instigating.
No, I think he'll go for tripping.
Embellishment.
I think embellishment's
definitely the one he's going to go for.
No, embellishment definitely would be good because, you know, he would definitely try to sell a call. You know, I see him in the vein of like a Brad Marchand kind of guy, and
he barely gets tapped on like the leg while someone's trying to poke away. He's like, there I go.
Darn
and then meanwhile, Russell's licking somebody else. I'm sorry, man. It's just this how we see it. We're not calling you Brad Marchand. We're just saying this is what you do.
Yes.
I hate Brad Marchand so much.
Yeah, I don't like Marchand either. But anyways, that's beside the point.
So again, thank
you for taking the time out to listen to us. And if you haven't already, please check us out on Twitter at Forever Blue Shirts. Also follow Kevin over here at Space Earthbender. I myself am at JL Shapiro 8. And Russell's, I think, is at Russell Hartman 1. Creative.
Very. I mean, it's professional. I'll give him that. Like, you guys have the professional one. I have, like, some asinine one.
Well,
it's like, this one's going to sell cool, guys.
You clearly made the account when you were 10.
I actually made that one after my first account.
I don't even want to know what the first one was.
I mean, it has my name in it, so it's actually more professional than this one.
Kevin Krupe 2. Anyway,
there was already a Kevin Krupe 1.
Right, he would not let me buy it off of him.
Oh, bribery. Anyways, let's get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. So obviously, we've had a very interesting week full of hockey. And first of all, before we get into any of the recaps and stuff with the games, we want to talk about this sort of good problem the Rangers have, and it's involving Henrik Lundqvist and Alexander Georgiev. Now, Kevin, obviously, you just put out an article recently that talks about the value of Georgiev in a trade. And it's arguably both of those guys are arguably the reasons why the Rangers have won a couple of games so far. So since you wrote the article, Kevin, just elaborate on your point a little bit more and tell us, why do you think not only the Rangers are winning because of them, but also tell us why Georgiev is such an important trade chip to other teams for maybe futures, or how he can, you know, essentially fit into the Rangers rebuild down the line.
Well, fantastic long question. Thank you. I know I was ready to answer after the first one.
Well, then again, I'm not the one that came up with it, Kevin.
You've got to give me a two-parter, of course.
Of course.
So, part one, the Rangers have fantastic goaltending. They have Benoit Allaire, the goalie guru, the goalie whisperer. You could call him whatever. He's the guy who sought out Alexander Georgiev. He's like, this is the guy we need. You should sign him. Undrafted free agent. Steal, getting minimum cap hit, which is fantastic. He really is like the true diamond in the rough guy.
Well, what is he making, so to speak? Just to kind of put the numbers out.
I think it's about $792,500 approximately, because I've been looking at the numbers much.
You really memorized that, didn't you?
I'm pretty sure, because I was comparing his and Igor's, and Igor actually makes more than him. But besides the point, these two guys have been playing really well. We saw flashes of it last year with Georgiev when him and Henrik Lundqvist were splitting time. And now, you know, he stole a few games away. He's looking fantastic. Unfortunately, there are still the games where the defense kind of lets him down a little bit. You know, this is the four goals against the Devils, the six goals against Ottawa.
Ottawa
and then,
Senators,
you know,
of course.
Yeah. And then as this podcast comes out, we'll see the result of the Penguins game, so you can make your own assessments after that. But, you know, there have been a lot of games that he really let up one goal, two goals. Every game he's seen 30 shots, so it's not like he's had easy nights. It's only those small sample sizes that kind of skew the numbers a lot, but he looks good. And Henrik Lundqvist is vintage Henrik Lundqvist, man. Like, last year he said it was depressing. He said it wasn't a great year for him.
Well, I mean, when you have basically every one of your teammates get dealt at the deadline. I mean, that is pretty demoralizing.
Well, not even just that. It's just he says he wasn't used to kind of being on that end of the stick where they're not winning, and they're not winning a lot. Like, you know, at least where there was the years where they didn't, like, they were half and half. He can get used to it. They're always in a playoff push, and this is the first year he really wasn't. But now he came back this year. He increased his, you know, his reps in the offseason. He was ready to go. And I was at the game in against Detroit last Wednesday, and he looked dynamite. He looked electric. He was unbelievable. And then you come back out, you're expecting Georgiev in Carolina, and it's Henrik Lundqvist again. And he stole that game.
Yeah, no, Henrik definitely stole that game. That's no doubt in my mind about that one.
Oh, definitely. This is where the bad part comes in, though. He stole the game. The Rangers did not deserve to win that game at all. You know, it goes to show, it's like it's always been the Rangers' problem. They rely on the goaltending too much, but at this point in the young defenseman's development, it's not good. You kind of can't have someone bail you out. You get used to it. Obviously, Quinn's probably riding them hard. It's like, you got to give 100% the whole time. I know you want to be offensive. I know you want to score goals and get points, but you have to be responsible defensively. And we're seeing forwards do that. You're seeing Ryan Strom. You're seeing Brendan Smith. You're seeing even Artemi Panarin against the Ottawa game. It's just, you know, these guys need to be more responsible defensively, and the goalies are bailing them out.
Now, let me ask you this question before you go on to your next point. Let me ask you this question. So you look at the goaltenders like Henrik and like Georgiev, and we've seen other goaltenders do well under Benoit Allaire. How much of it is Benoit Allaire, and how much is it the goalies themselves? Because if you take a look at what the Rangers have had behind Henrik over the last couple of years, you've had guys like Antti Raanta, you've had guys like Cam Talbot, you've had guys like Chad Johnson, I think that's his name.
Chad Johnson.
Who else? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. But the Rangers have had a lot of decent backup. Marty Biron was another example who played well.
He was a great backup,
You know, before Tomas Hertl ended his career. you know, Marty Biron was solid. So now if you think about it, if, let's say the Rangers end up trading Georgiev, do you think he'll be able to continue the success that he has here, or will he fall in the same vein as Raanta or a Cam Talbot? Because I think he could actually be better than some of those guys, and it's not a knock against those guys. I think Georgiev is a little more athletic. So
Raanta hasn't been terrible. He stayed at the same team. Obviously, that team's Arizona, but Cam Talbot went to Edmonton, so that's not much of a better team. Now you look at these two guys. Raanta, I believe, is hurt at the moment.
I think so.
I think he started the season on the IR, so I can't really judge this year. But last year he was pretty solid. Unfortunately, we can't say the same thing about Cam Talbot, who's now the backup in Calgary. Now, it's like one of those weird situations where, yeah, they go to a different team. Obviously, those teams are not as good as the Rangers were while they were on the team. But at the same time, it is a good Chuck Benoit Allaire. These guys were young. They not so much Raanta than Cam Talbot, but, you know, having a good goalie coach is what makes the goalie. Like, yeah, they're the ones who know what mistakes they're making. They are solely focused on, like, hey, this is how you approach each shot, each breakaway, you know, the power play, the penalty, like, you know, every situation. And, you know, Benoit Allaire obviously is one of the best in the business. And it's just, when I'm not saying that as a Rangers fan, I'm saying that as a general hockey fan.
Generally speaking, like, of course.
All you need to do is look at the past goalies in the past 10 years, and you could just make that assumption. You have to just look at their prospects at the moment. Igor Shesterkin, Adam Huska, I think it's Wall. That's for
Tyler Wall. He plays
Tyler Wall. Yes, I didn't want to.
I think I want to say he's with Maine. Not entirely sure about that.
I think it might be Harvard. Regardless,
no, he might be still in college. That's true.
Yeah, no, he's still in college. And
obviously, Olaf Lindblom is another one.
Thank you.
You can throw in there as well. Who follows me on Twitter, by the way?
no need to shout out, JL. We all get it. Everybody loves you.
That's what they all say.
Yep, me and my 95 followers.
but let me
no,
post
no, no
this,
but
let me pose this question.
Just let me finish this statement.
Okay.
But
okay, all right, Kevin.
That's just four. That's four guys ready to take the place of Alexander Georgiev. And before I let you continue, JL, just in my article, I state why it's not a bad thing to trade him. Everybody's like, Georgiev's the future. Georgiev's the future. It's not. It's Igor Shesterkin, and he's taking his lumps. And you don't put, if you just look at his numbers in the AHL, unbelievable numbers, like godlike numbers he was doing, he's putting with the KHL, and you can't keep him in the AHL that long. Well, that's just
the understatement of the century right there.
He knows he's staying there, but there's no reason to keep him there. And there's no reason to sign Georgiev if you have a backup like that coming the next year. But go on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. You pretty much transitioned into my point, and my point well enough. So obviously you think it's right for the Rangers front office to try and move him for something down the line. Now, speaking of trades, because I do agree with you on that point, but speaking of trades, which I'm very adamant on this one. So there have been rumors going around lately that the Edmonton Oilers and the New York Rangers are interested in a swap for Elias Anderson and Jesse Puljujarvi. That's a tongue twister in its own right.
I've tried to say it for the past like 15 minutes, and I always say it wrong. Puljujarvi. Steve can Steve will rip us a new one because obviously we said it wrong.
So Puljujarvi and Anderson, the swap that there's potentially being thrown out there. I think that's a really good trade in the sense that if you take a look at how the Rangers are currently built, you look at who they have down the middle coming through the system. Mm-hmm. So obviously you have Mika Zibanejad. He's going to be the guy, number one, of course. He's proven it. He's shown it to us this season so far. And for the next three seasons, unless they decide to just somehow trade him, which they won't, he's going to be the guy. After him, we look at Filip Hedl. He's come out like a monster from Hartford, and he's been on fire. So obviously he wants to stay, and it seems like he's going to be penciled in as the number two. Then if you go further down the line, you have Brett Howden, who a lot of people seem to not necessarily like too much, but Brett Howden's played a very strong game this season where he's playing as a defensive third-line center, and he's gotten the job done. That's what they drafted him for. That's what he's going to be there for. So now you have another spot open, whether it's the third center or Howden goes to fourth, or Howden is the third and this open center goes to fourth, and we hope it's Elias Anderson, but you also have a guy by the name of Carl Henriksson, who is impressing in Sweden with his teammates Lucas Raymond and Alexander Holtz. So now the question begs, Elias Anderson, his future with the team seems kind of clouded in the sense that can he either stay with his spot on the fourth line or maybe play a wing position? Or if he doesn't transition well, you trade him for a guy like Puljujarvi to stick with Kaapo Kakko. So
Fellow Finn.
And he's pretty much the only Finnish player on the team, Kaapo Kakko. So for me, I think it would be a halfway decent trade. I'm not exactly too thrilled about losing Elias, but sometimes you have to give and take in terms of getting what you want. And I think that could benefit both teams.
Well, yes and no. Well, unfortunately for the Rangers, they won't benefit from it immediately because Jesse Puljujärvi decided to stay in Finland for the remainder of the season, regardless of the outcome of any potential trade, signing, etc. So that doesn't mean the trade is dead. It just means that Puljujärvi won't be with his countrymen right away. It might end up being March or April if they get a deal done. But, you know, that's at the end of November. You got a few weeks left to kind of trade for him, sign him, agree to some sort of extension, and it's all muddy. Personally, if it does happen, that definitely means they went to him and be like, look, we're going to sign you. We want you here. You're coming back over. If it doesn't happen, you know, you never know. He could always just – I'm not too clear on the contract details. I'm not sure if he's actually a free agent after the season or not, but I don't know who owns his rights. But I definitely agree.
Are you speaking of Puljujarvi?
Yeah, I'm speaking of Puljujarvi.
Well, obviously Edmonton holds his rights, of course.
No. I don't know how long they have it after this season. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I misheard you there.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mishear you. Thank you for asking, because I'm sure other people misheard me as well.
But just to interject, though, so you don't think that Puljujarvi wouldn't come over if the Rangers offered him a contract to play on the NHL team right away? You know,
what is he going to do? He's going to take back what he said. It's like, I'm going to play for this team, and this is where I'm going to be the whole entire season.
I mean,
oh, the Rangers signed me? Okay, let's go. I'm gone.
It's not entirely
impossible.
Screw
all you guys.
I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, players have walked back before.
No, I agree. It has. It's just, you know,
I wouldn't necessarily rule it out.
With his track record, I mean, I don't see it not happening.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not, until, like, obviously we were following this closely all weekend, but until he said that, you know, he's going to stay in Finland, I was pretty confident that he was going to be traded here. And now that that's not the case anymore, my percentage was at like 60, 65. Now it's down to like 20.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to happen. It's like you're trading a pick, basically.
Yeah. It's like you're trading for a pick, which you could do with Elias Anderson, but like you said, he doesn't belong on the team. At least it doesn't seem that way. But everybody says, look, he needs more minutes, which he obviously does. There's no doubt about that.
I think if they're going to make a trade, I think a trade's going to happen. If they make the trade before December 1st, I am confident that Puljujärvi would come here. You know, because
I mean, that'd be great.
But if a trade doesn't happen now and it happens after December, I think they should just make the trade at the end of the season, to be honest, if that's the case. Either that or just don't make the trade at all. Because people, you know, I know a lot
you don't know where you're going to get at the deadline.
No,
and this brings it back to Georgiev, where it's like the Rangers do have a lot of pieces to trade. Mm-hmm. Now, Elias Anderson not being one of them. Now, we see Ryan Strome currently on the first line with Mika Zibanejad out. He's going to be gone. His contract's up at the end of the year.
Yeah, Chris Kreider's contract is up at the end of the year. Kreider and Strome are making their value known.
And another one who, you know, just out of, you know, sheer curiosity, I kind of think that D'Angelo's name would be thrown around a lot just because of the season he's had. And that's not saying he's going anywhere. He's looked amazing.
Absolutely.
And he's proving that he deserves a big contract after this season. It's just with the influx of all your defensemen that could potentially be ready next year, Nils Lundqvist, Keandre Miller, you know, Yegor Rykov, if he decides to, you know, be healthy for once.
But and I don't think it's necessarily his fault, Kevin. Goodness.
Then the emergence of Libor Hájek, Ryan Lindgren, Adam Fox, and now you have Trouba and Shea on the roster still. It's a logjam. And Tony DeAngelo could be that player to fetch you that first-round pick.
Well,
that
I think a first-round pick
and a prospect, because he is that good. He was the best defenseman last year defensively. Not just offensively. Defensively, he was the best defenseman. And he was the most responsible, and he's proving it now. He's not the best defenseman. It's more Trouba. It's more Lindgren. You know, defensively, it's just... He's a very interesting kid. We're definitely going to see trade rumors about it. It's just you don't know what could happen. We didn't know that Ryan McDonagh, JT Miller, all these guys were going to go to the Lightning.
Well, that happened out of the blue. Like that just exactly that happened out of the blue.
No, it's just
that
it's
no one knew
thing.
That was going
to
happen.
We just keep everything close to the vest up until like the last 15 minutes, and then we get a flurry of, oh, this guy's going here, this guy's going here, this guy's going here, and it's something completely different.
Well, I think with the emergence of Ryan Lindgren, it makes a lot of the defensemen expendable in terms of a guy like D'Angelo and a guy like Mark Stahl. We don't, like you said, the Rangers like to keep things very close to the vest, so we don't exactly know what's going to happen. Kind of similar to what happened with the Vladislav Namestnikov trade, where we famously recorded our podcast. If anyone doesn't know, before we go into our next topic, we recorded a whole section, a whole show, me, Russell, and Kevin. We recorded this amazing podcast talking about the first two games of the season. We were ecstatic. We were into it. We were excited. And literally 5 minutes after I stopped the record button, Vladislav Namestnikov has been dealt to the Senators. It's like, oh, great. Now we have to go back on.
then we had to do it without Russell.
Yeah, we had to do it without him.
Because we also had an interview. So it was like you, me, Russell. Then I think it was Russell and whoever we interviewed. Yeah. I think it was me and Russell.
Yeah.
Then it was me, you, and Russell again. Then it was just me and you.
Wasn't it the Vince Mercogliano episode?
I think it was. Vince, come back on.
By the way, just again, Vince Mercogliano, great guy on the beat. He's doing a great job for LoHud.com.
Oh, my God. That's an understatement. He's been a delight to follow.
He asks all the questions that we want to ask, but not in the way where he's catering to the trolls, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He sees the constructive questions.
He asks it in a professional manner.
Yes, but not in a very trolly way either. I think he takes some of the questions that everyone's been asking. He puts it in the right way. So good job to Vince Mercogliano.
Well, no, he really is, like, you know, in this day and age where Twitter is such a like. Obviously it's popular.
Yeah.
God, Kevin. No,
Kevin's brain is broken.
It's not broken. It's just not working ever. But in this world where, you know, you constantly get berated, it's like the Rangers Twitter probably has everything set to mute. You know, certain players have, you know, the fake accounts so no one has to bother them.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, it's just, it's good that he's taking a huge majority of questions where he could be asking about Jesse Puljujarvi if, you know, he does see a JG or a JD in the locker room around MSG. He can ask them that. He can ask certain questions that they may give some inkling to, not obviously give it away, but better than asking nothing.
Yes. So good for Vince. We enjoyed having him on, and we want to get him back on. So now moving on to another topic here.
Good segue. Well, that was perfect.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that wasn't abrupt at all or anything.
Well, I mean, I had to get you to be quiet somehow.
It'll never work.
Anyways.
But go, ask me your next question,
I'm not asking you. We're having a conversation, Kevin.
God damn.
All right, so obviously the Rangers currently have some injury issues. Mika Zibanejad is out with an upper body injury that seems to be lingering a little bit more than most people anticipated, including the Rangers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also Mark Stahl will be out indefinitely for the next 2 weeks after getting surgery on his ankle after having an infection.
And possibly more will be reevaluated at that time, so we could be looking at 2 weeks
about a month. Maybe he might be back in the next calendar year, depending on how his leg is. So now,
Let me ask you this. Sorry to interject.
No, go ahead.
Obviously, two different injuries. These are two injuries that have completely different effects. Now, with Mark Stahl, obviously, he's not the same Mark Stahl we used to love and, you know, die for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's out. What really happens now? It's just all these young guys get put in. Now, with the opposite with Mika Zibanejad, he's staple. He's the young up-and-coming captain, potentially. So what do these two do for the Rangers' lineup, the locker room? Because they're not traveling on this next road trip. They made it clear that it's very unlikely that Mika Zibanejad will. So how does this affect the locker room, both in a positive and a negative way?
Well, let me start with Mark Stahl, because I think when it comes to a guy like Mark Stahl, the positive, you don't want to call it positive, but I guess maybe it's hard to say positive, but I guess in terms for the other young defensemen who are trying to get a shot, it means that they'll be able to have more time to prove themselves. Again, let me just put on the record, you don't want to wish anyone harm, don't want to wish anyone injury, that's not what we're advocating here, but we see that with Stahl's absence, a guy like a Ryan Lindgren can get his shot, and he definitely made the most of it on Sunday night, scoring his first goal. And for
Sunday afternoon.
Sorry, that was.
I'm just saying, you know, because I had a switch between that and the Giants and Jets game the whole time.
Yeah, J E T S. Anyways,
whatever. I don't care.
So just
the Giants in an O line.
Just to reiterate on that point, we're not going to talk about that now because Boss Man's going to get mad at us.
Hockey only.
Yeah,
Rangers hockey.
Yeah,
only.
Rangers hockey only. So to go back on the point on Stahl. So, you know, a guy like Ryan Lindgren who's making his point, and it also allows for the players to make, you know, to have a little bit more of a leash, because if there's an extra defenseman there who's healthy and a guy has a bad game, then it gives Quinn a chance to say, you didn't play well, you're going to sit out, and I'm going to bring this guy in. But now that he doesn't have the opportunity to do that, and it doesn't seem like a guy in Hartford is going to do that to any one of the guys currently, it allows for the defenseman to make a mistake and maybe have a bad game, but not have that fear of getting taken out of the lineup. Now, on the negative side, obviously, a guy like Stahl, veteran presence, alternate captain, a rock and a leader for this team, he's not going to be there. His on-ice contributions in terms of how he knows the game, how he goes about it, how he goes about his daily routine, is something that could be missed by a lot of the players, especially the younger guys on the team. So I think that's one thing. Now, to touch on Mika, it's a different story with Mika, because
it's completely different. That's why I asked it, because you see how big of a breakout he has last year. You see how well he clicks with Panarin and with Buchnevich in the beginning of the year, and it's such a hard hitting blow. But two things here: it's like you could see that it's different, but it really hasn't slowed them down.
No, of course
as
not.
As bad as we thought it would, obviously Mika's advantage has missed. We need him back. Huh. I mean, they can't sustain it like this forever, but Panarin really has been picking up a slack. That's why he's worth that much money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this every single time. He's worth that much money because he's over a point per game pace right now.
Yes, he is. And the thing with Mika, too, is that Mika, he supplements that as his center. Well, before he got hurt or before they switched the lines around. You know, Mika is the guy who pretty much puts everyone on a different level with a guy like Panarin. Mm-hmm. So there's really no positive to, I don't want to say positive, there's really no like upside for Mika not being around, because Mika is tremendous on the faceoffs. He's arguably the best pure centerman on this team when it comes to faceoffs. You know, a guy like Elias Anderson, who I think he's his roommate, can learn a lot from him, especially during a game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the negatives are abound here. You know, you need your number one guy. He's not there. People underestimate how fast he is. He's got great control of the puck. He has hockey vision through the roof.
He's a leader. He's one of the guys.
We've
discussed this even before the season started. We expected him to be the captain. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much like they lost their captain. And it's just, that hasn't really, if this was last year, I think it would have hit a lot harder than this year, only because Panarin's such an infectious personality on the team.
Yeah.
You know, you have all these young guys that are starting to bond, so it's not like, you know, it's like not like the team is structured in a way where it's solid and you take one link out and it all falls apart. Mm-hmm. It's so fluid, and the one positive, and it's not even a positive at this point, it's just, it's increasing Strom's trade value.
Absolutely.
And we had this conversation, I think, you know, me, Russell, and Jim from Forever Blue Shirts had this conversation earlier about, you know, does Panarin really, you know, increase everybody else around him? Does that mean the players around him are bad because he's so good? But Strom can hang. Strom is good enough.
He was a first round draft pick.
Trading Ryan Spooner for Ryan Strom is probably one of the better moves Gordon has done in the past few years, just because it ends up being so lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
And Strom's value just keeps going up and up and up. And, you know, you could say it's because of Panarin, but he was good even before he was put on that line.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he's riding a 7-game point streak.
Yeah, about a 7-game point streak. Yeah, something along the lines of that.
And that might change depending on, you know, the Penguins game. But he is supplemental.
And the thing that Ranger fans tend to forget is that Ryan Strom was a first round pick by the New York Islanders, and I don't know if anyone has their memories cleared or not, but all Ryan Strom did was score against the Rangers. Him and Blake Como were one of the two guys I clearly remember scoring against the Rangers, and you know, he's no slouch. He's still 25, 26, I want to say. He's around that age range. It's just that the money that he's making currently, mm-hmm. which is a massive overpay, I think he signed that contract with Edmonton, if I'm correct?
I believe so.
No, he did not sign that contract with Edmonton. I'm not entirely sure, but regardless of what it is, the contract that he currently has, he's going to be an RFA, and it pretty much stipulates that you need to at least give him 10% more than what he made for his previous team, if I'm correct on that. Again, apologies for if anything inconsistent, but he's going to get paid more than what he's getting paid now. And for a team like the Rangers, it would be nice to have a guy like a Strom as one of your bottom six forwards. But seeing as how this team has such an influx of youth, it's not going to happen. So the best thing you can do is to just showcase him and see what you could get for him in a trade. And also, I was just thinking about this too. There is probably one positive of Mika Zibanejad going down, is that Filippino gets a chance to play bigger minutes. And
definitely.
Obviously when Mika comes back, Hedl's going to be locked in as your number two because of the way that he's played.
Well, he came on and he went 2-for-2 with 2 goals back to in the 2 games he started. And he's just been unbelievable. I don't know if everybody's watched that game on Sunday. I definitely suggest looking at his goal.
That goal. Oh, my gosh.
You know, Rangers drew a penalty, so, you know, they could get the sixth man, and Hedl just bursts into the offensive zone and makes a great move and scores a goal before the power play even starts. And he's just on another level this year. He's humbled because he got thrown down. He wasn't happy. He cried about it for 2 seconds, even if he did cry. Maybe one tear shed, maybe two. But, you know, he proved it. And although the Wolfpack have taken a hit and are starting to stabilize again, it's just he showed how important he is for this team and why he was drafted. And Russell says this all the time. If he was just a little bit younger, he would have gone top 5, top 10 in the next year's draft. And that's a huge difference.
Absolutely.
It's a huge, like, maybe the Rangers end up with him again, but it's just, it proves, like, how good the kid is and how undervalued he really was going at, I think it was 20th overall?
21st.
21st overall, thank you. And he's just been a delight to watch. He's been strong with the puck. I always forget how big he is.
Well, like, I think you mentioned that to me when you went to the game. I was
watching warm-ups, and I'm looking at him next to, God, who was it? Maybe Brendan Smith or somebody. And he was just like, oh, my God, is that Hedl? He's a big kid. So he's strong with the puck. His hands are silky smooth, and he's just going to get better. And, you know, then it brings up the conversation about Elias Anderson again. And I know he has not gotten enough time on, you know, any offensive zone or, you know, he's stuck with bad line mates. But at a certain point, he has to make his line mates' game better. Mm-hmm. It's not going to – the line mates aren't going to define who you are. You define who your line mates are.
Who your line mates are, yeah.
And Elias Anderson has the potential to be like that. We've seen him play well. It's just, at what point do we make him sit more? Sit for more than one game.
Yeah.
Or set him down to Hartford for a stint. And no one's exempt. I mean, if Phil Peel's game flies off or falls off for some god-awful reason, then he might go back down the AHL. We don't know.
Well, to touch on Anderson, you know, I don't want to kick a man while he's down. Anderson, you see, if he really wanted to make an impression, he has the skill to elevate his game. Now, the one thing that we really have to remember about a guy like Elias Anderson was drafted to be a two-way forward. That is what everybody said. That
also,
is why they
also,
got him.
You know? He was supposed to be the most NHL-ready player in that draft.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what I think they're doing, and this is just mine, and then once I finish this, then we'll go on to our next
topic.
And
I think I'm going to agree with you with this because it's going to make sense.
Well, of course. Well, thank you for that. And
taking out
all the suspense that everyone was anticipating.
It's not suspense. They could be like, that makes no sense at all. What is he doing?
But my point is that I think the Rangers hold Anderson at a high regard. Okay, you look at a lot of good cup-winning teams, and a lot of them have a lot of good, solid two-way centers. You know, mm-hmm. You look at the example that popped into my head right away, and this is, I don't know why this is my first example, but it's Boston and with Bergeron and Chris Kelly. Chris Kelly was a good two-way forward. He was a good two-way center. Obviously, Patrice Bergeron is Patrice Bergeron, so we know what he's mm-hmm. capable of. So definitely. I think what they're trying to do is when they drafted Anderson to essentially be the replacement of Derek Stepan. Derek Stepan was a phenomenal two-way forward with good centerman skills on the dot. He wasn't the most fleet of foot, but the guy could definitely play. We all know that. We've all witnessed it. So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to basically, you know, they're trying to basically say, hey, look, we need you to finish this game. We need you to finish your game. We need you to polish it. Polish your game, become better on the draws, and then I guess once they see that, they'll start to put him up more. Because there's a reason why Brett Howden is on the third line currently. It's not because he's just some wash. It's because Brett Howden is a solid defensive center who is good on the draws for the most part. Now, with that being said, I want to transition into our next topic.
Well, before you transition, it does show a lot how much confidence Quinn has in Howden. And, you know, you could say it's favorites. You could say whatever you want. But he was the best face-off centerman on the team on Sunday. And that's why he took the mm-hmm. face-off on the 3-on-3 before anybody else came out. And I think it was not Filippito, somebody else. I think maybe Ryan Strome or – regardless, it's just Brett Howden went out there to win the face-off. And guess what he did? He won the face-off.
Yeah.
He won a lot of face-offs in that game. Now, the Rangers' face-offs were god-awful during that game. I think at one point it was 11-33. in favor of the Panthers. Grief. And it's just, it's terrible. It's, that's grief. What happens when Mika Zibanejad's gone.
Yeah.
And it's not just, it's like he's just that good defensively. Mm-hmm. But the issue is then why not give Elias Anderson more offensive time? Give him less responsibility for the offense, I mean, for the defense. And it's just, it's not, it doesn't work that way. You have to play those dirty minutes. You have to play those garbage minutes. And it happens.
Yeah.
He's still only 20.
He's 20 years old. You know?
Like, give the kid a freaking break.
Yeah. And
give Quinn some slack.
Yeah.
Because I know we talk about it every week, and I know it's getting annoying, and I'm tired of talking about it too.
Yeah, you think you are.
I everybody's tired of hearing about it. It's just, something's got to give, and it's one of three things. It's either Elias Anderson is going to just get better over time, he's either going to get sent down, or he's going to get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, unfortunately, it's trending towards the traded, and I don't want him gone. I think he's a huge asset. It's just, like you said in the beginning of the podcast, there's no room for him.
Well,
it doesn't seem like there is at the moment.
Well, in that sense, I have to agree with you. I like Elias Anderson, and I think that he should be a part of this team. But if the Rangers can find a right deal from him in terms of helping out Kaapo Kakko, which we already know he's already showing his gifts on how good he can be, then you have to go ahead and make that trade. So now that being said, let's move on to our final point of our podcast. I know, everybody's sad.
Boo, final point, boo.
So we know the Rangers have been somewhat lacking defensively, and it's been pointed out by many that a lot of the players that played for the Rangers, like Anil Pionk and a couple of others, like a Kevin Shattenkirk, have thrived after they've left. So now I'll pose this question to you, Kevin, because you're the only one here.
Obviously. I mean, unless somebody else wants to chime in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's Kaapo Kakko. Welcome, Kaapo.
This is nice podcast.
So the Rangers need to get better defensively. In what ways do you see them attempting to do that? Obviously, guys like Hayek and Fox and Trouba and Lindgren have all played well, but there's like a different level these guys can reach. How can they possibly get better defensively?
As weird as it sounds, I think the goaltenders need to not be as brilliant and amazing and unbelievable. It is weird. It's just they've stolen a lot of games so far this season. You can attest that most of the wins are because of the goalie situation. And, you know, if you really want to look at advanced metrics, I'm not personally a fan of them. It's not even close at this point. Like, you don't even need to be a huge stat head to get these advanced metrics. The Rangers are terrible when it comes to controlling the puck. They are god-awful when it comes to giving up shots and chances. And, you know, they just aren't on the same level, and it's because of the goaltending they've gotten to the point. Now, they can't ride the goaltenders forever. We saw the game against Florida. We saw, you know, Ottawa, and, you know, we saw New Jersey, and all of these games where they get completely blanked. Mm-hmm. And they're getting
so far.
Exactly. They're getting shut down. And they're getting all these goals against them, and the goalies just can't keep up. And it's not their fault, because the defense is just atrocious. And they've tried different pairings, they've tried sending guys down, but it really is going to come down to, you know, who sits out when. You know, it's kind of, now this is bringing it back to why it's bad that Staal sat out. You don't have that extra defenseman to slot in when someone needs to take a break.
It's kind of like Shea, a cup check in a sense.
Yeah, and Shea arguably had a better game he's had. I'm not saying he had an amazing game. He just had a better game than he recently had against the Panthers than he did against, I think it was Detroit. Mm-hmm. It was terrible against Detroit. And the Panthers, he didn't look awful, but just, you know, you can't really quantify that because it was a high-scoring game. But it's just accountability is going to come down to the defense.
Well, who do you think that responsibility falls on, though? Because these guys are obviously talented, but I mean, it gets to a point where who does the blame fall on? Does it fall on the players themselves, or does it fall on the coaching staff? Because
it's a little bit of both at this point.
Too much skill on the back end for them to just be getting beat like that. These guys are strong players. Yeah. I don't understand.
It really is a little bit of both, and if you really want to blame anything, you really could blame the coaching staff. Lindy Ruff really hasn't been that defensive coach that we need him to be, and ever since he came here, it just seemed like a lot of guys took a huge step back. Like Kevin Shattenkirk's defense fell off the side of the cliff. And, you know, Trouba hasn't been as sharp as he was in Winnipeg, and it's just obviously small sample size. You can't really discredit him for that.
He hasn't been as sharp, but he hasn't been as bad as people expect.
He's been great. He's been solid. It's just Shea, after his first year, it's not the same. And it's tough to kind of – now he's got to break habits. And that's what it's going to come down to. These guys not getting into bad habits, not relying on the goaltending, and just trusting what got him here in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Natural skill goes a long way.
It does. And I think Quinn is addressing it properly. And if you – like now we don't hear the complaints as much because the Rangers are winning and these guys are getting sat down and this and that. But I think that – the Rangers' defense is going to be a slow working development. It's like obviously defense would take longer to develop than anybody else. It's just,
well,
they just need time. That's all it's going to come down to.
And you're absolutely right on that. It comes down to time. And I think what a lot of Ranger fans seem to have missed or seem to forget is that this team is young and you have a lot of pressure getting put on the youth of this team. And while some of it could be put on the coaching staff, you know, the younger guys may not have as much of an excuse. The older guys, well, don't know what to tell you there. So at the end of the day, they just really need to feed off each other and just continue to try and make each other better. You know, the typical cliche of, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I know they can get better defensively because, you know, the Rangers are not just going to draft a bunch of guys just because they're fast. I mean, they obviously know that they have strong skill sets. So that's why I do have hope. It's a little alarming, but maybe a change in the defensive part of the coaching staff, whether Lindy Ruff gets fired, could make a difference. Maybe they're just trying to wait till the end of the season to let him go. Yeah. But either way,
unfortunately, they brought him on to replace AV.
It didn't happen.
In the event, and it didn't happen because, you know, AV stayed on longer than everybody expected. Then he gets fired in the offseason. It was just, I was surprised that Lindy Ruff was still on the staff. But, you know, there are some positives to having him. He has a lot of experience. So maybe it is helping Quinn in a certain aspect. It's just, you can't, again, bad habits. You can't develop them from anybody.
Yeah.
And if Lindy Ruff is giving you bad habits, I don't know what to tell you. These guys aren't going to develop the way they should. And maybe it's time for a coaching change. Maybe you get another young coach, a guy who's ready to do something different than everybody else. Well, it's just, why not?
To add to that, give credit where credit is due. David Quinn and his coaching staff. Did I say David?
You said David.
I said David.
I
don't know what's wrong with me today. I guess it's a very long day today.
It's one of those days. I guess neither one of us are sharp.
I guess not. But David Quinn and his staff have done a phenomenal job with developing a lot of these players, some a little slower than others. But either way, they've done a yeoman's job at getting these young guys to go out and play hard every night. And that's a testament to not only Jeff Gordon's vision, Chris Drury's vision, and also with John Davidson's vision, sticking with Quinn and company because they all believe in the same message. Mm-hmm. This team is going to be good. You can see it already with just the skill. The pieces are slowly being put together, and they will definitely break out sooner than most think. Now, before we end our podcast today, we're just going to profile just some of the games that are coming up in the schedule up until our next podcast. So, as if you didn't know, we are recording this on Veterans Day, and we want to congratulate and give thanks to all our veterans out there. And when you hear this, it'll be Wednesday the 13th, and the Rangers will have already played against the Pittsburgh Penguins at Madison Square Garden. So we will have a reaction for that on our next podcast.
We'll see how they do against no Sidney Crosby, because that was announced earlier today.
So that's definitely something we'll talk about on the next podcast. And then the Rangers go down to Florida to play the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Amalie Arena on the 14th, which is right before payday, and then they go to the BB&T Center that following Saturday on the 16th, and then after that they do not play again until the 20th, where they go back home to play the Washington Capitals.
We'll have that preview
the following week, but our next podcast, which will be released on the 20th, we will preview all three games in Florida and
probably all four games, Garden. You know, Washington, Ottawa, Montreal, Minnesota, those games after this.
Oh yeah. Well, let
yeah. No, but you know, just, it's interesting. I do like to point out, like, they already play Tampa Bay in Florida. Now they're already going back.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they face off against Tampa Bay. And it'll be a lot more interesting to see if they learned anything against Florida, especially since it's such a quick turnaround. And maybe they actually get to face Bobrovsky.
Maybe. Considering
I was kind of upset I didn't get to see that, but maybe Panarin was a little bit happy because he knows how good his former teammate is.
Yeah, I don't think he feels really good about scoring against his former teammate, but that remains to be seen.
I think the paycheck he gets every 2 weeks. You know,
yeah, I don't think he cares.
No, he's a happy guy. Look, ever see his Instagram or his Twitter?
Oh,
he looks so happy.
I know.
Imagine you made that money.
Oh, if I made that money.
All I would be doing is smiling.
Smiling with my dog? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? And we still don't know what the bonuses are.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
What are those bonuses?
Well, we'll find that out soon enough. But
one positive note, and it obviously overlooked with all the different news and, you know, player profiles that we've done today, Kaapo Kakko has looked exceptional.
Oh, yes.
In the last few games.
Absolutely.
He's taking the body a lot better. And his goal, his power play goal, was outstanding.
Oh,
his shootout goal was outstanding.
Even better thing of
and
beauty.
And if you just, you don't need to hear me talk about it. Just listen to the broadcast with Sam and Joe and listen to what Joe says about how he approached that play. And it's just such a smart move. 18 years old, and this kid's going to be around for a long time. So please enjoy it. If nothing else goes good this year, just remember we have Kaapo Kakko for 3 years at the least, and then hopefully more, because they'll sign into extension.
Oh, I mean, obviously. You have to, of course. And yeah. And the one thing I want to point out about Kaapo Kakko, too, is the Rangers, I was reading an article in the Post, and the Rangers called in help from Tuomo Ruutu, former NHL player from Finland. He came in.
Which we talked about last week.
Yeah, but again, I just want to reiterate it. Because you brought it up, Kevin, of course.
Of
but
course.
I just want to reiterate.
I didn't know you wanted to make a point.
Well, you hear
I
me talking about it.
I thought I'd make a point, and you were like, okay, bye, folks, but whatever. No, but go
Anyways,
on.
Anyways.
Sorry, you're the host.
Thanks for ruining my train of thought, Kevin. Thanks for ruining it. Anyways, all kidding aside, you know, again, I know I reiterated it last week, and I'm going to reiterate it again.
Re-reiterate.
Yes, I am re-reiterating it. Good choice of words, Kevin. Congratulations, you win a medal. So again, like I said, Kaapo Kakko got help from Tuomo Ruutu, and again, you can start to see he's starting to get comfortable out there on the ice, and he seems more stern on the puck, and just that game on Sunday, the way he played, this kid's going to be a star. So, you know, that goal and the shootout goal is evidence of that. So anyways, Kevin Kruppi, thank you so much for coming
Johnny
on the podcast
Shapiro.
Today and helping
well,
us out.
You know, we do it every week.
Yes,
so.
We do. That is
well,
right.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for everyone who's taken a listen to us. Again, if you are listening to this podcast, please check us out on Forever Blue Shirts. Find us on Twitter. Give us a follow. Yell at us, whatever you want. Please feel free to blow up our phones because...
Ask us questions.
Yeah.
You know, yell at us. Tell us how bad we did. Tell us how good
yes.
we did.
Yes. Shove it down our throats. Tell us how bad, or maybe tell us how good
we
are.
I know Steve will tell us how bad we did.
Well, of course he does.
Of course.
I mean, I guess... Is
does
that
he like anything?
Maybe. Well, if it's... You're Leah Sanderson.
Leah Sanderson.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Or Vitaly Kratzoff.
He's getting a New Jersey, so
yes,
whatever.
That's right, but that's
it's
a
ridiculous.
Whole...
He got a ruined jersey and a New Jersey. Two for the price of one.
Well,
next time I'm going to go to Cosby, it's like, look, don't give me the right thing.
Mess my jersey up so I can
get
an athlete
on
Twitter.
And then I'll get a new one.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you everybody for listening so much. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Russell Hartman will be back with us. You know, the top line fully loaded and ready to go. And y'all have a good night and enjoy the games. And let's go Rangers.